Our scripture this morning is found in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." The word of God for the people of God. Imagine you own a big SUV, and maybe some of you already do, but imagine you own a big SUV that weighs almost 3 tons, a Chevy Suburban or a Ford Expedition, and you need to parallel park. How will you do it? Maybe it has new technology that will do it for you. But let's say your SUV is a little older and can't self-park. As you turn the steering wheel and parallel park, what enables you to maneuver this 3-ton vehicle with little effort? A simple answer: a power steering pump. Have you ever tried to turn the wheels on a stationary vehicle without power steering? You pull and you crank and you pull and you crank and you get the idea. But in your imaginary SUV, as you turn the steering wheel, the power steering pump added pounds of power to turn the front wheels. The Holy Spirit does the same for the followers of Christ. The moment we decide to live obediently for God, the Holy Spirit empowers us with the ability beyond our own to obey Him. The Holy Spirit is one of the three persons of the Trinity. We must know and rely on His ability. And today we look at the promise that God gives us: "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." The Holy Spirit arrived at the Feast of Pentecost, also known as the Feast of Harvest. It was one of the three feasts that all Jewish men were required to attend in Jerusalem: the Festival of Unleavened Bread to celebrate coming out of Egypt, the Festival of Harvest, or also known in Acts as the Day of Pentecost, but they celebrated the first fruits of the crops. And the third one was the Festival of Ingathering, celebrating the end of the year after the harvest. But here we are at this Festival of Harvest, this time of Pentecost, and there were Jews and God-fearing Gentiles from all over Europe and Africa and Asia. People from different ethnic backgrounds and languages were gathered there. The followers of Jesus were gathered in Jerusalem to pray when the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them. The Holy Spirit came like a mighty wind. Tongues of fire rested on each of them, and they were speaking in other languages. This group of common, unschooled, ordinary men astonished the crowd as they preached and healed. They were dragged before the Sanhedrin, the leaders of the Jews. And these leaders were concerned about what to do and how it would look and how should they deal with what's going on here with this little crew. So they noted that Peter and John had been with Jesus. And there were a lot of witnesses, too many witnesses, to the miraculous healing and to that day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. When I was growing up in church, I didn't hear much about the Holy Spirit, or maybe I should confess, maybe I wasn't paying attention. Maybe I avoided him. You know, we know the Father, we love the Son, But oftentimes we neglect or avoid the third person of the Trinity, God's Spirit. We thank the Father for sending the Son, but ignore that the Father and the Son, both of them, give us the Holy Spirit to receive power to live our Christian life. Paul asked the Galatians, "Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Why do we try to get things done under our own power?" Jesus spoke more about the Holy Spirit than about the church, about marriage, money, even about the future. After the ascension mentioned in our scripture today, the Holy Spirit is the one who is active in the life of the church. He's the one who is active in each Christian. He's the one who is active in the world and holding back evil. The Holy Spirit causes our Christian lives to flourish when we connect to Him, when we attach to Him. When we attach to Him, we are provided with a number of things. And just want to share a few of those things with you today. I'm sure there's more as we look throughout Scripture. But the Holy Spirit provides power and strength. He helps us in our weaknesses. He helps us right where we are. We don't need to be at some mountaintop. We don't need to go out and find a place to be. He helps us right where we are and helps us in those times of weakness that we have. The Holy Spirit bears fruit in us. I know some of you on the phone can quote me Galatians 5, those two verses. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And there should be a combination of all these in each of our lives as we bear the Spirit's fruit, as He causes that fruit to come forth from us. Now, maybe our personalities emphasize some attributes over others, but they will all be evident as we connect to the Spirit, as we attach to the Spirit. For you see, to bear fruit, the branch has to stay attached to the tree. And so it is with us. We need to be attached. We need to be connected to the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus speaks about it in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, where He talks about the vineyard and how He is the vine and we're the branches and we're to be connected. And in verse 5, He even mentions if you're not connected, there's going to be some issues. And so as we think of the Holy Spirit and bearing fruit and we're the branch, we have to stay attached to the vine so that we can be bearing fruit by means of the Holy Spirit and bearing the fruit of the Spirit, as Paul shared with the Galatians. The Holy Spirit creates unity in the church. No matter our personalities and our history, the Spirit fills us with the love and peace we need to be united in Christ Jesus. For you see, it is Jesus Christ who is our connection to one another. He's the reason that we're the church. And so the Holy Spirit creates unity among us. It is the Holy Spirit who energizes the church. We can overflow, we can be energized by the hope that God places in our lives. In the present pandemic situation, God is providing us that hope. It's not new, it's always been there. But here in this situation, it's almost as though God said, "Would you just stop?" And I know that's how many of us feel. Whoa, life is just really different. And it's as though we have stopped. And I wonder if God is the one who has stopped us in our tracks and said, "Trust me. Get back connected to me. Trust my Spirit and be energized by God." The Holy Spirit energizes the church. And the Holy Spirit produces holiness in the church. God is calling us to live a holy life. He gives us His Spirit so we can indeed become holy. Not for our sake, but for His sake. And the witness of the gospel message that holy lives bring to the world. Jesus promises the power of the Holy Spirit to all who believe in Him and avail themselves of his presence in their lives. Look at the early disciples. They were not overqualified. There wasn't a theologian, rabbi, scribe, or priest among them. Most of them were low-class and blue-collared, we would say today. Yet God chose to empower them with the Holy Spirit. You and I receive the Holy Spirit when we become a Christian. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I pray that you do, and if you haven't done that already. Those that have, do you believe you have all the power you need to live a life for God? The Holy Spirit brings transformation to our lives if we let Him. If we allow Him to work in us, we begin to think like God thinks. We begin to love like God loves. We begin to see like God sees. Lucado says this in his book, Unshakable Hope. He says, you would be skeptical of buying a tripod with only two legs or a tricycle with only two wheels. So why be content with relating to only the Father and the Son? Are you settling on a two-thirds God? Have you let the Father and the Son into your life, but unsure about the Spirit's presence? How much of His presence are you aware of in your life? What keeps you from fully relying on the Holy Spirit? A sin to confess? A grudge to release? A promise to keep? A better understanding of His role? Avail yourself of the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you.